But I want us to look in our Bibles today to Psalm the 8th chapter. Psalm 8. And we're going to read verse 1. Just one verse. Michael, could you give us the Amplified? Thank you. If you're watching us online, we welcome you today. And we pray that God's blessing will overwhelm you. Amen. Praise God. I love to hear the church read. I'm going to allow you to sit, but could you just read that, everyone? Let's read it together. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic, and glorious is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory on or above the heavens. Isn't that amazing? Today I want to speak with you briefly from the subject, chosen for the glory. Come on, let's say that. Chosen for the glory. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have been chosen for the glory. Notice that God said there, David the psalmist said, you have set your glory on the heavens. And we know that God has set his glory on the heavens because elsewhere in Psalm 19, David penned the psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter its speech, and night unto night show it knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. He's talking about creation. Creation declares his glory. And how many know that we are at the pinnacle of God's creation? The stars, the moon, the sun, the trees, they all declare God's glory. Nature, when I see the deers in the morning, like this morning I had to run a few of them from the backyard. When I see the deers, when I see the groundhogs, when I see the creatures, when I see some amazing fish in the sea, some amazing birds, some mornings you wake up and some rare birds come by. All of them are declaring God's glory. The Bible says the heavens declare his glory. The Bible says that God has set his glory upon the heavens. And do you know what God said to us? God said, I have chosen this church to set my glory upon it. God said, I have chosen New Covenant to set my glory upon New Covenant. Amen, somebody. Now, there is a glory that only belongs to God. There's a glory that only God should get. And God said, my glory will I not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. So there's a glory that we must only give to God. Amen, somebody. But then, there's a glory that God gives to us. There's a glory that God gives to us. But before I get into that, when God said, I have chosen this place, this church, to set my glory upon it, God is not just talking about, as a matter of fact, God is not talking about the building. Now, if we think that the building is a church, then we're not incorrect, but we're incomplete. When God said he has chosen this church to set his glory upon this church, it is evident that we are the church. Our body is a temple of God. And so when God said, I have chosen this church to set my glory upon it, God is saying, I have chosen you. The church. Look at your name and say, hello, church. God has chosen you to set his glory upon you. Come on, look at your name and tell them that God has chosen you to set his glory upon you. God wants his glory to rest upon you. I said, God wants his glory to rest upon you. When people see you, they should see God's glory. Just like when they look at the stars and they see God's glory. When they see you, they should see the glory of God. They should wonder how come you're so blessed. They could wonder how come you look so good. You're 60 and you still look like 30. That's the glory of God. Come on, somebody. When they see you, they should see the glory of God on you. Come on, say, neighbor, the glory of God is on you. God said, I have chosen this church to put my glory upon it. Now the question then is, what is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? And people talk about God's glory, but what is the glory of God? Now, when Moses prayed, show me your glory, God said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. So we know that the glory of God is the goodness of God. I said the glory of God, let's say that together. The glory of God is the goodness of God. And the Bible said the glory will lead us to repentance. Because the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Sometimes the reason why we repent is because God's been so good to us. Many of us know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would have been 6 feet under today. Come on, somebody. But here we are sitting and clothed and in our right mind. Because the goodness of God, the glory of God, led us to repentance. Many people will not repent unless they see the glory. When you show up, the glory of God should be resting so heavily on you that people see God's glory. Hallelujah, somebody. They see his glory on your life, but he gets all the glory. Amen. Amen. Now, so what is the glory of God? We said the glory of God is the goodness of God. When Moses prayed, show me your glory, Moses actually asked God to show him his glory. God said, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass before you. Then how else can we define the glory of God? The glory of God is the presence of God. Come on, let's say that together. The glory of God is the presence of God. Now, when the Philistines came to fight against Israel and they took the Ark of the Covenant, remember Eli was priest, and they took the Ark of the Covenant away. The Philistines took it. They confiscated it. Someone gave birth to a child. There were two sons of Eli named Phinehas. Phinehas was one of them, and Hophni. Hophni and Phinehas. And the wife of one of them gave birth to a child after the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And they called the name of the child Ichabod. And the reason the word kabod is glory. Ichabod means the glory has departed. So when the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, departed, the glory departed. So when the presence of God is in a place, the glory of God is in that place. But when the presence leaves, the glory leaves. Brethren, when the presence of God is with us, the glory is with us. Amen, somebody. But if the presence leaves, the glory leaves. So the glory of God is the presence of God. And we understand that the glory of God is the presence of God. Because when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. How many know that when God shows up in a place, it's amazing. Listen, when the presence of God shows up, it is well. Did you hear me, somebody? I said, it is well. You know, wherever God's presence shows up, healing is going to take place. Deliverance is going to take place. Salvation is going to take place. Lives are going to be transformed by his power. Whenever the glory shows up, God shows up. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Come on, say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Brethren, Moses prayed that prayer. And not only should we be asking God to show us his glory, but we need to ask God to let his glory rest upon us. Notice his glory rests upon the heavens. God wants his glory to rest upon us. And God, the glory of God is the presence of God. God wants the anointing to rest upon us. Come on, say, Lord, let your spirit rest upon me. See, when the anointing also is the Holy Spirit. So when the Spirit of God is resting on a person, the glory of God is resting on that person. When the spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha, the glory of God was resting on Elisha. When the spirit of God is resting on you, the glory of God is resting on you. Come on, tell somebody, the spirit of God, the spirit of the Lord. And notice, when the anointing shows up, the glory shows up. And so that's why I said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. When Jesus said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, he was saying the glory of God is resting on me. He said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus said, the spirit is resting on me, he was saying the glory is resting on me.